rising Muslims, to where the hijab is oppressing, to like there's so much hate and dislike for Muslims and for Islam in general. It's become horrible over the past couple of months.
Do you think the media play a role in it?
Oh, most definitely. I think Islamophobia wouldn't be so big if it wasn't for media. The way the media portrays international conflicts, like, oh, terrorism, that word is so huge. Like, even being a Muslim, every time I hear Islam or Muslims in news, all I hear, the next couple of words following it, is terrorism, terrorist attacks. Like, always, like, the media uses filtering tactics and, like, agenda setting and, like, to create fear-mongering amongst society. So people who are watching the media automatically and they don't know about the religion and they don't know, or they personally don't know someone who's Muslim, they automatically take it for fact and they're, like, they get scared, as one would be. If somebody told you every day, Muslims are killing people, Muslims are killing people, you're going to automatically be, like, I don't want to be around Muslims.
Yeah, so how do you think it affects someone?
I think it's, like, socially, politically, and economically, I think it affects people because, especially for women who do wear the hijab, it's like, you go to a job interview, and on paper, you're an amazing candidate. When you get a phone interview, you're an amazing candidate. When they see you, it's like, sorry, the position has been filled. It's hard. And then not only that, it's like, socially, there's spaces where people don't like you and you can't go places. And it's like there's an unspoken rule that you're not allowed to be there. Yeah. And then politically, it's like every time you look at a new law, you find some sort of anti-Islamic factor into it. It's really hard.
Have you ever personally experienced Islamophobia?
I have. I find that my biggest thing is when I go to job interviews, it's like, it's so apparent that they are so, especially working when I worked in retail, it was like, oh, do you think you could wear the uniform? And I'm like, I can wear all black. Like, my hijab can be black too. It's such a big thing. And it's just the fear of, like, we don't know if people want to shop here if there's a Muslim person working here. Wow. And it's horrible. And there's been cases where women have actually been fired because they chose to put on the hijab. And that's crazy to me.
But ain't that a form of discrimination?
That is a form of discrimination because you're just like anybody who gets fired for being black or being, for being a newcomer, an immigrant, for being trans, or for being, like, it's just a huge, it's just a slap in the face, especially when you do have the skills and the talent to do these jobs.
I don't know if you have seen the newspaper from the Toronto Star, but they had published an article that's saying some of the Peel Region School have rooms where Muslims, student can pray, while some doesn't have. What do you think about that?
I think as much as, like, Peel Region school boards are funded by, like, the government, they're also programming that's funded privately by companies. And some schools are afraid to have spaces for Muslims or for prayer rooms because they're like, we may not be able, like, that turns, it's horrible, but it turns funders away from wanting to do programming there. Like, even in the Peel region, some of the school board, some of the schools who were listed that don't have these rooms are not, like, don't have those rooms available. Those schools have so much funding from, like, different organizations throughout, like, different companies, Canadian companies especially, which is really shocking because to go to school is a huge fundament of being, like, Canadian. Like, that's one of the biggest, like, one of the biggest rewards of being Canadian. You get free education. So I definitely think Islamophobia plays a huge role into it. I think people are just, the fear of the unknown and the fear of, like, the backlash that you're going to get
mm-hmm.
is stopping from schools from implementing these rooms.
With that being said, what do you think about the U.S. ban on the Muslim countries?
The U.S. is just a hot mess. Like, to be quite honest, they're just a hot mess. They're all over the place, and the U.S. has been pushing this anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic sentiment for years. Like, since 9/11, I think there's been a huge media coverage, especially in the Middle East, and it's always terrorism, 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 terrorism. And this U.S. ban is actually insane because it's not even banning Muslims. It's banning, like, you cannot immigrate to the U.S. if you come from a country that's majority of Muslim. That means if you're Jewish and you live in some countries, if you're Christian and you live mm-hmm. in some countries, I'm sorry, but you're still not allowed in.
How do you feel
so
about...
Like,
okay, go ahead.
It's like the play of xenophobia, like the fear of newcomers mm-hmm. and like... It's horrible.
So my question was, how do you feel about going across the border as a Canadian citizen?
There's no way I would enter. It's so funny because I was telling somebody the other day, I'm like, the only reason I would willingly enter the U.S. at this point mm-hmm. is if I had to go, like, God forbid, I had to go to a funeral, because I don't see myself before. And it was funny because before I would go to New York, I would be going, like, I would go to Ohio, like, all the time. Buffalo, I used to go shopping in Buffalo all the time. But now it's like, I don't want to put myself through a space where it's like, I could be arrested or I could get in trouble or I could be stuck in the U.S. just because I'm Muslim.
Have you ever had any problem crossing the border with your hijab on?
Yes. I find that when I cross, even when I buy a ticket, like if I try to buy an online ticket,
mm-hmm.
I have Muhammad in my last name.
Yeah.
And I always have to call to confirm. But my friend, she has a atypical name
mm-hmm.
and she's allowed through. Like, she doesn't have to call. And if you're crossing in a car, make sure you allot yourself an extra hour just to be searched.
Why is that?
It's just, the fear, I don't know what the fear is. I don't know. It's also like the media's play on terrorism and bombs and like, the common normality is that all Muslims are trying to bomb the U.S. or all Muslims are trying to kill people. And that's 100% incorrect.
How do you think we can address these issues in a positive way?
Awareness raising. I think people, the number one thing, the reason, is the misinformation. Like, I would encourage people to take the time, like, research the religion, meet some Muslims, go to a space that has, like, Muslims, and then off of your understanding of the religion and your understanding of what it is to be a Muslim and who are Muslims,
mm-hmm.
then make your basis. Because if you're taking it off of what Donald Trump says and what the media says, then unfortunately, this is going to carry on for years. The way we address it is by open dialogue. Like, we need to have conversations where we're not afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give someone that might be going through this? Like, how would you advise them to stay positive, you know, and don't let stuff like this get them down?
That's really hard. It's hard. Like, there's times where you want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that you can never change who you are. If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. Be who you are. Don't be afraid to be you, like, to be 100% you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, right now, you might face some barriers, but this will only make you stronger. Keep your head up high. That's all like, I wish I had some empowering advice, but all I could say is really just be strong.
As a community worker, do you deal with this on a regular?
I have worked in neighborhoods where it's like the majority of the demographic is Muslim. And I've noticed that in those communities, those who are not Muslim are more open and more involved. Like, community is big, and I think the more interfaith dialogue we have and the more interfaith communities we have, the better it is. Like, there's some neighborhoods where people are like, I've never experienced Islamophobia. I only experience it when I leave my neighborhood.
Okay.
And it's because there's a sense of community and awareness raising. Like, get out there, like, get to know the community, get to know these people. And as a community worker, all I could do is provide a space and provide workshops that address these issues.
So on your workshop, when you're addressing these issues, are you, what's your main target audience? Is it adult or is it youth?
I've worked with different groups. I personally, I love youth because their perspective is so raw. Because a lot of the youth are first generation. Like, I work with a lot of first generation Canadians. And they're like, the way they experience it and the way the older generation experiences it is different. And then if you see that comparison, you'll notice that, I don't want to say that the younger generation is more aware, but they're more conscious of the decisions they make. The older generation are like, yeah, this has been happening because it just happened. Like, I've always experienced it. The younger generation are more, they're looking for strategies to change. They're looking to make a better world. Like, they're ready to make the steps to, they're the leaders of the future, honestly.
Now, what do you think, or what do they say is their main issue? Is it going for a job? Is it walking on the street and being harassed? Like, what do you think, or what do they address most of the time when you're running your workshop?
I find, especially when working with youth, it's their careers. There's some careers, like, I know some youth who have showed an interest in politics and have shown an interest in being in the city hall or working for the city of Toronto, but then they're always hesitant because they're like, should I go to school, spend money, get an education in something where I know I will never be able to get a job in? And I think that also speaks on, we need to see more, like, because we're underrepresented in these situations. Muslims as a whole are underrepresented in politics. You don't see a lot of them in City Hall. You don't see a lot of, and it's not that they aren't there. There's so many that have political science degrees, have master's degrees, but it's just like the job market for them is so slim because they're Muslim. But that's the biggest thing. I think careers and jobs are really important to them, especially as they think about their future and as they think about their children's future and how, like, their children's children's future.
Is there anything else that you want to address around Islamophobia that you think listeners should be aware of or listeners should know?
I think listeners, if I could advise anything, I would say pick your news and media sources very carefully, because there are a lot of broadcasters who are providing a lot of, like, to quote the U.S., alternative facts. They're lies. They're not real. And just be careful where you get your information from. But yeah.
I just want to tell you thank you so much for doing this interview with us. And for anyone listening out there that would like you to come and run a workshop with them, just want to drop your email address where they can just shoot your email to get in touch?
Yes. So my email is Tusma, T-U-S-M-A, mm-hmm. period, S-U-L-I-E-M-A-N, at hotmail.com.
Thank you so much, Tusma. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lysandra, and I'll be taking over the second half of Catch the Flavor. I have my guest today. His name is Randall, and he is... actually, why don't you do a brief introduction on yourself, Randall?
Hi, my name is Randall J. I am a professional spoken word artist, edutainer, and I am also the founder of a movement called Rise Edutainment, one of Toronto's largest youth-led for youth initiatives.
Wow, that is so great. Would you be able to tell us, for all listeners, what Rise is?
So RISE stands for Reaching Intelligent Souls Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what it is a movement, not just any organization, but really a movement for young people to realize their voices, to realize that their voices matter. And we also create safe spaces for young people to express their voices, express their artistic merit, artistic talent, whether it be through the form of spoken word, poetry, lyricism, singing, theater, hip-hop, many different forms of expressing themselves, and mm-hmm. we provide a platform for them to do so.
That actually sounds really, really great. So you've just described what the organization does, and what kind of, what does edutainment mean? I know you mentioned it earlier, but just for our listeners out there.
I mean, to me, edutainment is a very important and very powerful thing. It stems back to what the roots of hip-hop was really all about. One of my favorite MCs, his name is KRS-One, also known as Knowledge Supreme's One. Mm-hmm. Knowledge Reigns Supreme One. He had a song called Edutainment, and he was just really talking about the importance of artists who have a message, artists who aren't necessarily just saying, you know, something for the sake of getting on the mic for the sake of getting on the mic. I think it's important for us artists to realize that we don't create art for the sake of art itself, that we actually create art to inspire people, to empower people, to want to become better, to realize the things that are happening in the world, because hip-hop really stemmed from people who were being oppressed, people who were downtrodden, people who were hurt, but also very gifted and talented people. And I think it's really important when an artist gets on the stage, gets on the mic, isn't just necessarily saying whatever, you know, because it doesn't really do anything for our young people. It doesn't do anything for anybody, if you ask me personally. That's my personal opinion. And, you know, just looking at what music is really popular right now these days, there's a lack of substance, there's a lack of saying something that really can push the next generation. For me, you know, listening to Nas, Tupac, and some of the greatest, to me, the greatest MCs that really have a legacy, that have lived something, they all had something to say. They all had something to give back to their community and not just words that
Definitely.
Make you feel good for 2-3 minutes and then you're back to your tough struggles.
I know. I understand. Like, a lot of today's music don't have a lot of meaning in it. And
exactly.
I feel like music has like kind of lost the essence of what it's supposed to really be like.
Totally.
So how do people get involved in RISE?
So there's many ways to get involved with RISE. You know, we have our Monday night open mic, which is going to be happening in about an hour and a half. And these open mics are really, man, sometimes it's really hard to put into words. Words are really hard to describe the feeling, the emotion that you get behind it. But we have an open mic, a safe space where young people can come to on Monday nights to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get involved by just showing up. If you just want to show up and support other local artists, that's one way to get involved. If you'd like to come and support the artist, or you'd like to perform yourself, that's another major way to get involved. We also have a lot of programming that we do that are workshop-based, and if not just workshop-based, just ways to give back and educate artists on what they do. And that's kind of why we call ourselves edutainment, because we do provide the element to entertain, but we also allow that that space to also be an opportunity to learn and be educated. So, you know, when we think of the words educate and entertain, it's obviously the fusion of those two words coming together to have a purposeful and meaning and lasting impact on people. Opposed to that, you can get involved on social media. We're honestly tweeting. You can connect with us there as well, too, at @rise_EDT. That is our Instagram and Twitter, RISE_EDT. And on Snapchat, we are RISE, RISE-EDT. EDT standing for education.
That is beautiful. So I've just got a quick question. What are, like, the main goals for the community?
I mean, honestly, when I grew up, you know, a lot of my friends used to walk around very macho, pretending like the world didn't hurt them, pretending like they themselves were not hurt. And we used to put up a front, especially some of my, quote-unquote, hardest friends, the ones who really showed no emotion. And I was always the one who people wanted to talk. Felt comfortable to come and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
They felt comfortable to come talk to me about their issues and things that they're going on, that was going on in their lives. And, you know, whenever most of them did come to talk to me, I realized, like, you know, these are really just broken children who are pretending to be grown men.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I asked myself is, what can I do to help my friends to really be able to support and help people in a certain way? So for me, and for our movement, our mission is really being able to have spaces where people can be vulnerable, because vulnerability is actually a great sign of strength and not weakness. In our community, if you're vulnerable, people think that you are weak, but rather it is the total opposite. That if you're vulnerable, that means you are strong enough to be able to talk about the things that you're going through.
Definitely.
And we're just breaking that stereotype, and we're actually just making positivity cool. So our mission is just elevating the consciousness of young people through art, and also empowering them to be the best people that they can be, realizing that they can leave a legacy behind, realizing that they can make a lasting impact on others just by being themselves and making beautiful art.
That's awesome. So I know you did mention that there's a whole lot of different varieties of art that y'all get, but what would you say is the most performed art, kind of art?
I would say it'd be spoken word, mainly because I'm a spoken word artist myself, and when I first started Rise, I used to perform a lot of spoken word. And I guess through Rise, it became more popular in the community, because some people I've talked to, you know, they wrote poetry, but they never really had a stage to share it, or they wrote poetry, but they didn't think it was worthy of being listened to. And I believe through Rise, I was really able to support, like, let people know that, hey, like, it is okay to share your poems that you write by yourself that you don't think anybody, you know, cares about. But there are actually people that do care and do actually want to be there. So, you know, spoken word has really been at the forefront of the movement for a while. And it's a growing art form.
Definitely.
It's a very popular art form for a lot of young people who don't necessarily... everybody speaks, and everybody has their own ideas, right?
Yeah.
And poetry, I think, is one of the easiest ways to really be able to, illustrate our ideas and our opinions about life.
I know. I dabble a bit in poetry, and I'm like, well, I kind of see myself as a songwriter. I've composed a little bit, but I know exactly what you're saying, because I feel like I'm one of those people who I can't exactly express myself properly. And, yeah, so Rise is, like, a perfect opportunity for people who want to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're always welcome. Anybody's welcome. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. You're always, anybody's welcome to come into the space. You know, especially if you're coming into the space with love and encouragement. So anybody is able to come.
Definitely. So how did the organization start, and how long has it been around for?
We've been around for 5 years. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary last Sunday, because our event, our very first event that we held was on April 16th.
Oh.
And ironically, the numerology behind it is 416, so the fourth month and the 16th day.
Yeah.
So, ironically, you know, when I started doing this, when I started the movement, and I wanted to get other people involved, I had friends that really cared about, you know, helping the community. And unfortunately, many of those friends, some of those friends just didn't follow through. And I was kind of left by myself wondering, you know, what do I do? Where do I go from
Definitely.
Here?
Definitely.
And it's kind of disappointing when your friends, you know, kind of get step back from a dream that you create with them.
Oh, I know,
and,
yeah.
I ended up going to a couple other friends, and I spoke to them about the idea. And they said, you know, how can we support? How can we help? And, I mean, we found it. I think just fell into place. Like, for anybody out there listening, I think something that's really important is when you have dreams and you have goals and you have something in mind, the most important thing to do is to be consistent. The most important thing that you can do is be, like, committed to yourself, because at the end of the day, nobody's really going to get it for you but you, and you have to see the end goal when other people don't. Even people I loved and cared about told me, you know what, Randell, this thing is not going to work. You think poetry is going to get you somewhere? And really, like, people I loved and people I really cared about discouraged me from doing it. And you know what, had I done it, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people would not have been, wouldn't have been impacted by the poetry that I've created, but also the platform that has been created for so many others to share and connect and network.
That actually is very, very inspiring. So is there anything else that you'd like to say?
Well, I mean, just to, like, again, to anybody out there, I think we are all born to make an impact. To me, I believe we're all born to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put positive energy into the world, then we will receive positive energy. And the most important thing is to recognize, you know, the gifts that we have, to recognize the things that have been kind of etched into our soul for us to really be able to create. So whether you are an artist, whether you are someone who's good at administration, whether you're someone who's good at math, whether you're someone who's a philosopher, whatever it may be, the most important thing that we can do is at least give back to our communities, give back to our society in some way. We can't live our lives and leave this earth without contributing anything, without leaving something behind, especially when we think of all the ways that we are so blessed living in this Western world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had the pleasure of seeing the world, seeing many places around the world, and I know that I am blessed to be in Canada, to not have to fight war, not have to be able to get an education, and not be stoned or
mm-hmm.
to be hurt just for pursuing my dream. And you know, we live in a good country. It's not perfect, but we live in a good country that provides us with opportunities. And I just want to remind you, you know, just keep pushing, keep it going. If you're out there right now and you're thinking about giving up on your dreams, I just want to be the one that might be able to remind you that you got to keep going. You got to keep pushing. I guess other than that, we have Rise Mondays that happens every single Monday night. It's happening tonight. It's in Scarborough, a beautiful place in Scarborough, called 1081 Progress Avenue East. Of course, it's on a street called Progress, because that's what we're about. We're about progress and success. We do it every single Monday night from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at 1081 Progress Avenue East. And all are welcome. Our website is riseedutainment.com. That is RISEEDUTAINMENT.
Thank you so, so much, Randell. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you truly have been an inspiration. I'll probably see you at one of your meetings, and I know you've got one to go to right now.
For sure.
So I hope the meeting goes well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was really nice talking to you.
All right. Nice talking to you, too.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. This is Lissandra signing off once again. And yeah, I hope you guys have a good evening. See ya. Bye. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Life is your right. Get up, stand up. We can't give up the fight. Stand up for your right. Lord, Lord. Get up, stand up. Keep us struggling on. Don't give up the fight. Yeah. We'll see.